Welcome to Asset Finance Connect's series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry. I'm Richard O'Donoghue, and for the past few months, I've been chatting to industry experts about the challenges and opportunities facing our industry in 2025 and beyond. As we move into the final few months of the year, we'll continue to explore many of the topics that we discussed in earlier podcasts, such as AI, sustainability, and captives. We'll also introduce some new topics and get different perspectives from people that may be less well-known in the European asset finance industry. As always, thanks to our sponsors Alpha for their continued support, and we'll tell you a little bit more about them later in this podcast. So today we're going to discuss the topic of customer service. Every company highlights the importance of this on their websites, yet it's rarely discussed at industry events or indeed on podcasts. With me to unpick this topic today is Kirsten Wilson. Kirsten, welcome.
Welcome to you too, Richard. Nice to see you.
Good. And listen, you've been in this industry, the asset finance industry, for quite a long time. Just tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, Richard. Really, like a lot of people, I joined the asset finance industry a little bit by mistake. I was the fresh-faced person from university looking for a job. I got a job in the asset finance industry. A friend of mine at the time in my early 20s said, "What's asset finance all about?" I wasn't quite sure, but it was a blue chip company and I took the job. And thought that I'd be doing it for just a few years. It didn't quite work out that way, as those people who are listening to this podcast will know that asset finance is something that gets in your veins. There's a lot more to it. It's very interesting. And so my initial introduction to the career in asset finance I had was in the sales, in the service side of things, and in marketing. And I was hooked. I then moved on to a role in marketing leadership, the Schroder business. I had a great opportunity there to grow and develop my knowledge of different markets, the vendor perspective in particular. It was a very service orientated business, so I was really interested in how that dynamic developed and grew. And as I developed my career, I also had the opportunity to lead the IT, the e-business, and the marketing function. At the time, that was really quite controversial mix of things to have IT and e-business and marketing. But if you put the customer at the heart of that, it absolutely makes sense. It's why the IT exists.
To serve the customer. Serve
the customer inside the asset finance business. It has other roles, of course, but in there is the management of data and customers and so forth.
Into that a little bit more, but you've now kind of gone, I don't want to say a change of direction, but you've become an academic. So maybe talk a little bit about what you're currently doing and again, how this relates to customer service.
Yeah, so Schroders was acquired by Siemens, and for some years had a great career at Siemens, working both in the UK, the European landscape, as well as a global role, looking in the areas and contributing to the areas of strategy, business development, marketing, but also the thread that was weaving through the entire process was always the customer perspective. And in all those roles, be they the UK or European or global roles, I somehow held on to the responsibility for measuring and thinking about customer service in the organization. So it was a natural development for me to say that, you know, I'm now at a stage where I want to do something different. I want to look at a topic that really, really interests me and I'm passionate about. And I think that is pretty undeveloped in the industry. We talk about it a lot. You're right, Richard. You know, we all say, oh, yes, customer service, very, very important. But do we really understand it? And looking at it in depth was of great interest to me, because I realized that even with a first investigation into the topic, the amount that has been done in this area for the asset finance industry specifically is very, very lightweight.
And you're now undertaking a PhD in this area.
Yes, that's right. I've signed up with Lancaster University Management School. They were particularly of interest to me because they have a reputation for research-based PhDs. This is a research-based PhD. I want to discover new things, unveil things that have not been understood previously. So that made sense. But also they have a very good reputation internationally. I want the work to go across Europe and look at the differences between the the contexts in Europe. But additionally, and most importantly for me, coming from a commercial background, I wanted to find a university that combined the theoretical academic with the practical and management in practice. And Lancaster allows you to do that. And I think that's really important, because I think the whole point of the PhD is not just for my own curiosity, but to think about how that could contribute something to the industry in practice.
Yeah.
And so it needs to be rooted in both.
So it may take us a couple of years before we have you back to talk about your findings, but we'll stay off the theoretical and we'll talk practical. I mean, as you rightly said, and I said at the beginning, we all talk about this. We talk about customer centricity, customer first, you know. Everybody goes on about it. But why does it matter fundamentally? Why is customer service important?
Well, let's think about it in two different ways. I think there's the macro dimension to why customer is important. That's at the level of, my goodness, probably the industry is facing its biggest challenges ever in terms of this sheer multitude that are putting it under pressure, whether it's the volatile world and the trading conditions that we're operating in, whether it's the maturity of the industry, which is highly mature, highly commoditized, putting enormous pressure on margins and asking all of us in the industry to think about how do we grab and retain customers. So at a macro level and making sure that we can charge for the value that we provide. And then on the other side of the macro level is the AI and the digitalization topic, which is creating both challenges and opportunities. The opportunity is to serve customers very differently and uniquely, perhaps, but the challenge is, are we going to do it quick enough? Are we going to be able to adopt AI in the right way at the right time? And so the macro answer is that all those pressures and opportunities say it makes sense to really focus on it, because the key thing will be differentiation in the intensely competitive moving environment that we're in. And then at a micro level, I think it just makes good business sense. I mean, it costs an enormous amount to win a customer, be it a vendor, be it an end customer, within the asset finance arena. It's not like many other businesses. It takes really hard work. And so winning customers and holding on to them makes really good business sense. It's about reducing the cost of sale. It's about reducing the cost of serving customers once they're customers and holding on to them and selling to them, upselling, cross-selling, and continued selling. So whichever way you look at it, whether it's that sort of more strategic, it's really important that we remain competitive side, or whether it's at the very operational, well, look at the cost of sale. It's just good business sense.
And I think you've made an interesting point that listeners who are in the industry will relate to, which is the industry has become relatively commoditized. And therefore, you need to find differentiators, and this is a potential differentiator. Having the right technology is core to providing outstanding customer service. Alongside full functionality for origination, servicing, and collections, the Alpha Systems platform supports companies in delivering exceptional customer service through intelligent automation and AI-driven insights. With Alpha, customers can be served faster, smarter, and more consistently, from onboarding through to contract management, freeing teams to focus on more high-value activities that need the human touch. Visit alphasystems.com to learn more. That's alphasystems.com. But switching gears slightly, I mean, coming from the big tech world, we all used NPS. But is that the right measurement? Are there other measurements for customer service? Again, maybe this is a little bit more theoretical, but interested in how should our listeners measure customer service?
Well, the NPS is an interesting one, and I'm glad you asked about it, because...
And actually, I should clarify what NPS is, so maybe you would clarify in case people aren't aware of it.
Yes, Net Promoter Score, dear listeners, is the score that you get if you ask customers how highly would you recommend working with whatever the company is, or your experience with whatever the company is, on a score of 0 to 10, and then customers score it between those limits. And if customers score 6 or less, they are considered to be detractors, i.e. they're not particularly impressed, or if they score 9 or 10, they are advocates, i.e. they are terribly impressed. And the people in between, the 7s and 8s, are considered to be all kind of okay, but neutral, and we should discard them. So a net promoter score is saying, if I look at my advocates and I look at my detractors and I deduct one from the other, what is the portion of one to the other? So it's a small mathematical sum, but a very important measure.
Are there other measures, or is it the right measure in your?
Thank you very much. It is a measure, and it's a very useful measure because it gives you a sense of where you are, because the dynamic of recommending customers, I think that's quite well understood, that if you have a bad customer experience, you're likely to talk to 5 people. If you have a good customer experience, you're likely to talk to 1 person. So you don't want all those detractors spoiling things for you. So it's useful, but it's probably overused as a metric. It can be something that people follow, but they then actually stop and say, well, what does it all mean? And so for me, I think it's about a mixture of measures that are really important when we look at customer service. What are those? When I say about a mixture of measures, I would say they're both hard measures and soft measures. The trick is about putting them together. So by hard measures, I mean, how long is it to get to yes? How quick is the payout for the customer, for the vendor? All those type of things that actually can be systemized. And then what I would call soft, but they're not really soft measures, which are customers' reported experiences. And those go beyond the will they recommend, because the recommend simply is a guidance. What it doesn't do is it doesn't show the light on the areas that will need to be paid attention to. And put simply, they are things like speed, ease, reliability. And I'm using those very high level generic ways of describing them simply because actually the trick with measuring customer service is relevancy and asking the right questions in the right way to the right person, because the experience that, say, a vendor is prioritizing might be different to an end customer. So thinking those is an important part of it. But the essential thread here is to be highly relevant to the customer that you're asking, and ensuring that the questions you're asking will resonate with what matters most to the customer. And they tend to be around that speed, ease.
Yeah, yeah. And how important is culture and leadership in this area?
It's probably, in my view, the single most important facet of delivering good customer service. If leadership don't truly believe in the value of customer service and are just giving it lip service, somehow along the way, it will become the culture of the organization. And the culture of the organization and being a service, truly service-orientated culture, is what will pervade every customer experience, be that around the way the processes are implemented and thought about, or be that around whether the phone call is answered at 5 past 5 or not. It permeates everything. And so it's probably, in my view, one of the most important, if not the most important, facet in delivering good customer service.
How should leaders, you know, emphasize the importance of customer service? It sounds like an easy question. Presumably they just come out and repeat it. But we've all worked in companies where, you know, the principles of the company or what the foundations of the company are customer service, yet you don't really hear leaders talking about it. What can leaders do that is tangible to highlight the importance of this amongst their teams?
Several things to say about that, Richard. First is that it's no good just being a sponsor of good customer service. So there's a difference between talking about it when the NPS results come out, mm-hmm, and saying, oh, this is a terrific result, or this is not a terrific result, whatever the result might be. That's what I would call sponsorship, where it gets occasional mention as right, an important factor. Leadership is about engaging with the topic truly, engaging in ways that demonstrates understanding, getting involved, being available, ultimately listening to investment cases for improvements, and ensuring that there are processes when customer service measurement is looked at that it is truly followed up and taken seriously. Now that means that paying attention to it will be more than something that's required at an occasional meeting. It means that it permeates the thinking within most meetings.
It's going to be challenging for some leaders, I suspect, to do that, given all the other things they have to focus on. And one of them is AI. And again, it's an interesting kind of segue, because a lot of what you've talked about around customer service it's very human to human interaction. It's pick up the phone at 5 past 5 when, you know, people expect you're gone at 5. It's respond, it's listen. How's AI going to impact customer service?
I think we're waiting to find the answer to that in the future.
We'll add it to the list of questions that we're waiting to find the answer to with AI.
But I have an opinion on that, Richard.
Which follows.
So I'm going to go for opinion, which has two sides. One is the done well opinion, and the other is done badly opinion.
This is the sitting on the fence opinion then. You're going to give me both sides.
Well, I think the evidence shows that we're really at the beginning in the asset finance industry. So let's just hope that we'll do the done well. AI can augment and help the whole process, you know, whether that's at the very beginning when we're thinking about targeting the right product to the right customer and being highly relevant to customers, AI can assist with that. The whole onboarding, the assisting the sales process, you know, even with quite simple things, doing great background research on customers, assisting with that. There's ways that even now individuals within organizations can leverage AI to improve the job that they do when they're working with customers, having more relevant conversations and better satisfying their needs. And then of course, the obvious ones are the improving the speed to a yes and the contribution there, and then all the way through to the service delivery and things like, which have been well covered by Asset Finance Connect. Things like, you know, the service interactions and having chatbots and all those kind of things. So it definitely has a role, and done well, I think it has a terrific role to play because it can do things that humans can do perhaps faster. But what it can never do is replace the human interaction. And one central thread that is always there is that people like to deal with people, and people like to be treated as a person. And I think that's incredibly difficult to do with AI.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the convenience of AI done well will delight and amaze customers with the speed at which certain things can be done. But I think there are very few customers, and certainly in the asset finance industry, who want to be completely automated. They want to, at the end of the day, blend any AI enhanced experience with the ability to pick up a phone and to do that, as I said, beyond 5 o'clock and hope to get an answer.
And I guess the negative is that AI replaces everything. And it's funny you mentioned chatbots, because I find them unbelievably annoying when I go on a website and I get this, "Hi, I'm Richard, I'm here, can I help?" And I don't mind the first time, but they keep repeating themselves. And I go, I'd have asked for help if I wanted it. It actually puts me off websites. So it's kind of interesting when you talk about the downside of AI. There's a very practical example. I want to pivot a little bit, because we've kind of, you know, you've advocated for why customer service is important. You know, it's a differentiator in a commoditized world, so it'll drive profitability. And I'm going to start this by saying I'm just relying on data here, because I am a huge fan of Ryanair. Being Irish, I'm very proud of what they've achieved. I think they've revolutionized the airline industry. It's one of the most profitable airlines around. And yet, if you go to something like Trustpilot, it scores abysmally. So explain to me how Ryanair can get away with what appears to be poor customer service and still be entirely profitable.
Well, I think they're doing, I mean, we haven't talked specifically about this, but doing what you do, having decided what your position is with regard to your service offering and doing it consistently, and the key word is consistently, and doing it consistently, brilliantly well, is key to success. And what I would say about Ryanair is that they do what they do brilliantly well.
Right.
They don't pretend they're anything but a no-frills airline. Their offering is we do it cheaply, we do it conveniently, and they create no expectation in the minds of the customer that they're going to do anything but that, and the price position supports that. So it's no surprise to me that they're successful. And then underneath that, of course, because underneath all of these things is the operating model and the business model that's behind that. But it's perfectly consistent and understandable that, of course, for what they're selling, and they are selling the, what did you say, 1.3 Trustpilot score.
Yeah. I guess, though, it does actually, in fairness, build on what you said earlier around leaders, you know, walking the talk, to use the US expression, because you're right. I mean, Ryanair doesn't make many bones about the fact that customer service, even, you know, they don't, that's not what they're about. They're about getting you from A to B at the lowest possible cost with no frills and consistently getting you there. And I guess the point it brings out in the asset finance industry is maybe there's a role for companies that say, hey, you know, our customer service will be fine, but that's not what we're going to sell ourselves on. We're going to sell ourselves on different elements. And then you'll have some costs or some companies that say customer service is our differentiator. And I guess what it says is that, you know, be true to yourself almost as a company. And if you really want customer service to be a differentiator, talk about it. And if you don't, maybe you focus on something else.
The clear message is be sure what you're offering and do it well. And that's what Ryanair is doing at one end of the scale. And the airlines who do it well, that seems to be a variable, you know, they're charging more and they do that consistently well too.
Yeah.
But it's being clear. And I think it's when it's not clear and it's not consistent, I think that's where things are much
start
more
to fall
difficult.
Apart. Yeah. So let's assume that the listeners to this are advocates of customer service and they do want it to be a differentiator. What are the kind of two or three most impactful things leaders could do to improve their customer service?
I think it's a highly individual thing. It starts with a real deep understanding of where you are now. Mm-hmm. And that important discussion that no doubt Ryanair has had and others around where do we want to be. You have to understand where you are and given where you are, is it consistent with where you want to be? And so how do you maintain that? And what competitive pressures are likely to be upon you to maintain that position? So is it defensive or are you trying to move it to something different?
Mm-hmm.
And the answers are in the specifics. There are some common threads, nevertheless. The whole leadership of that process and bringing employees alongside that process. Mm-hmm. And typically it is around, and actually even your Ryanair example fits this, the speed, ease and consistency, you know. And speed is a very relative thing. When you talk about speed, I think there's some people in the middle ticket and larger ticket space say, well, you know, that isn't in asset finance what we're about. But actually, customers all have a sense of what fast looks like and what slow looks like. And it's going to vary depending on what sort of transaction they're dealing with, but they will have an expectation. So knowing where you are, knowing where you want to be, thinking about, you know, the core aspects of speed, ease and consistency, and underpinning it all, thinking about the leadership cohort that will drive the employee dimensions to deliver it in practice.
Great. And consistency is a word that you've mentioned a lot today, and something, you know, that I think sometimes we don't focus on, that the consistency of delivery is really, really important. We talk about the speed and the ease, but I think consistency is one that often gets overlooked. I always like to end with kind of a personal sort of question, seeing as we're talking customer service, and I've just mentioned how chatbots really irritate me. Can you give us an example of a recent experience that was either good or bad from a customer service point of view?
Let's take an example. I'd like to take two examples that are joined up together. It's an example, funnily enough, of a no-frills airline, low-cost airline versus a national carrier. And you'll be pleased and interested, and it shows how even within the low-cost space, airlines are still having to work on their proposition and improve. I had reason to change a flight from Colombia to the UK quite recently, which was via the US. And part of the leg of that flight was with a low-cost carrier, and part of it was with a national carrier. And he had reason quite soon after booking the flight to change it. Interestingly enough, the low-cost carrier answered the phone very promptly. I explained the situation that, you know, the plans had to be changed and why they had to be changed, and asked for a refund. Yes, they said, we will do that. And we will do that within 3 days because you let us know quite soon after you've booked the ticket. Brilliant, I thought. And it was done. That is my example of a good customer experience. The whole process worked exactly as I expected it to do, and they did what they said they're going to do. The other national carrier with whom I had a similar conversation did not want to refund the money, wanted to charge a very large fee, and I got into a bit of a dispute with them about it. I am still in dispute with them, and I am experiencing, which is the other side of the customer experience, I'm experiencing a lot of AI automated complaints handling. So two very different examples. I can't tell you the end of the bad experience, Richard, because I haven't reached it yet. But I thought they were interesting ones because the first shows, even within the no-frills world of airlines, but this could apply in any industry, there are boundaries that are being pushed out and changing the rules. And in the world of national carriers, complacency and a historic position can make people blind to the realities of how the landscape is changing.
Yeah, it's... complacency is a good word to use, I think, in a lot of this. As you were saying about calling them and emailing them, I'm sure they told you on an automated voice system that your call is important to us as well, which is another one of those irritating kind of canned messages that are meaningless. And it kind of brings us back to almost where we started, that everybody talks about customer first and customer centricity, but it doesn't always apply. So look, I wish you the very best of luck with the PhD. And maybe when you're completed, or maybe when you have some revelations that you've uncovered as you go through it, you'll come back and join us, Kirstine, for another podcast, or indeed at an Asset Finance Connect event.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's been great speaking to you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. When it was first suggested to me that we should do a podcast on customer service, my immediate reaction was, why? Isn't customer service just something that every asset finance company is focused on? However, in speaking with Kirstine, I was struck by all the elements that contribute to a good customer experience, such as organizational culture, consistency of delivery, and clarity of strategy. Maybe that's why it's hard to deliver top quality customer service. There are just so many variables that contribute to it, and it's difficult for one company to be successful in all of them. If you've enjoyed this podcast, look out for more episodes in the coming weeks. And as always, let us know if you have ideas for future topics. Thanks for listening.